Kingsgate Media is proud to present Seed, the series, adapted for radio as an audio drama. Episode 2, The Cave. Written, directed, and produced by Rob Skiba. Narrated by Rick Hummer.
Previously on Seed. My name is Captain Zach Randall. In the wake of 9/11, Major General Victor Caritas created the Seed Project. In December of 2002, I led its Agartha team into the desert sands of Iraq. There, we found a tunnel hidden inside a cliff. At the end of the tunnel, there was a mysterious stone wall with strange writings etched all over it. I was determined to find out what might lie on the other side, so I ordered the team's demolitions expert to destroy it. None of us could have anticipated what happened next.
All clear, sir.
All right. But stay masked. We don't want...
As the strange blast of cold air subsides and the men peer into the tunnel, a couple of goat skulls roll out of the cave and land right in front of Martinez.
Oh, nice, yeah. That's just great. What, you guys ain't seeing this?
Sergeant Martinez rolls his eyes as he quickly crosses himself.
Lock and load, gentlemen. Let's do this.
How did you ever make selection anyway?
Well, I'm very good at taking out the living. Look, I joined Seed, not the freaking Ghostbusters.
Yeah? What do you think the S stands for, moron?
Well, I didn't get any training in dealing with the living dead. Did you?
On the job training, baby. Deal with it as it comes.
I'm telling you, there's something very wrong with this place.
Ah, you watch too many movies. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Hey, good one, Chef. Just remember, don't cross the streams, huh? Get your hands off me, boy.
Zach and his team make their way through the now familiar passageway leading to the wall, which inexplicably appears undamaged.
Doesn't look like you've made a dent in it.
I don't understand. There should be... Oh, what the...
What is it?
Pierce bends down to see what it was that he had tripped on. He begins to rummage through a pile of stones, eventually uncovering the partially decayed body of a human corpse.
Looks like some sort of warrior. See the armor under his robes?
Yeah.
And look at those weapons. Wow.
Man, he's almost as big as you, Chef. Must have been a real tough guy, too. Look at the size of this mace. Yeah, could do some serious damage with this bad boy.
So what do you think? Was he the one responsible for all those dead goats back there?
Hard to say.
Check this out.
Seeing an ornate scepter clutched in its right hand, Pierce pries it loose. As he stands back up, Zach takes it from him.
Yeah. There you go. Merry Christmas.
What do you make of it?
Well, whoever he was... He was likely a man of significant influence. Maybe a wizard or some sort of warrior monk. It's quite an impressive piece, actually. This jeweled head alone is worth a fortune. And see the tube down there? This is pure ivory. You see? Probably where he stored his scepter. And check out these etchings.
Looks like the same type of writing on the wall. Can you make any sense of it?
Looks like a form of ancient Phoenician or Paleo-Hebrew, maybe? But not exactly, look. There are subtle differences in the iconography. I'm sorry, I'd have to study it a little bit more to understand it.
Okay, be sure all of this is documented. We'll deal with it later.
You got it.
Alright, Dino, what's the deal?
Man, I don't get it. This wall should have been pulverized.
Well, it wasn't. Got any more firecrackers in that pack?
Well, yeah, but...
Hello. What have we here?
Zach has found a previously concealed hole embedded in the right side of the wall. It appears to be about the same shape and diameter as the scepter's twisted wooden shaft. He considers for a moment, then gives it a try. As he begins to insert the scepter, something pulls it all the way in up to its jeweled head. Intrigued, he slowly twists the head to the right. Nothing happens. Twisting it to the left, however, causes a different result.
Ah, there we go. Now we see if we've hit the jackpot.
They all step back as the massive wall slides to the left, revealing a narrow stone stairway. Taking a deep breath, Zach readies his weapon, looks at his troops, who all do the same, then cautiously enters. Upon taking the first step beyond the wall, a bright light emanates from somewhere down below. Zach quickly gives the hold sign with his fist. Everyone freezes as he motions for Calhoun to take point.
Don't cross the streams.
Calhoun boldly advances, leveling his M249 squad automatic weapon, ready for whatever lies ahead. Everyone tenses up, raising their weapons to firing positions as they follow. Upon reaching the bottom of the long stone stairway, they all peer into a massive cavern and see something extraordinary. A large, brightly glowing fruit tree that has grown out of a stone encircled mound in the center of the cavern.
My God, it's true.
Zach rushes toward the tree as the others follow, each pointing their weapon in different defensive positions. As they do, Martinez's mask begins to fog up.
Think it's safe?
Zach looks at Jakes, who gives him a thumbs up.
Thanks for volunteering.
Martinez takes a deep breath, then removes his protective mask. Everyone watches as he exhales and then breathes in the cavern air.
It's okay. All clear.
All clear.
They all remove their masks and stand gazing in amazement at the inexplicably bright and beautiful tree standing before them. Quite out of place in this underground cavern full of sharp, upward protruding rocks, its fruit glows like mesmerizing ornaments. They step up to the mound to investigate.
What is this?
It's a tree, you moron. What do you think it is?
No, really? But what's it doing down here, Einstein?
It's the tree of life.
Come again?
I think we just hit a 777, boys.
Sergeant Reynolds curiously reaches out to touch the glowing fruit hanging from one of its branches, but Martinez tries to stop him.
No, don't!
Too late. Reynolds has already pulled it from the branch.
What's the matter, Prince? Don't you want to live forever?
The last time someone took from a tree like this, it ended badly. Garden of Eden, huh?
As I recall, that was the other tree. Phoenix just said that...
Suddenly, the mound begins to shake. Everyone jumps back as both it and the tree begin to levitate. They all aim their weapons as it rises to about 7 feet above its base and holds, suspended in midair.
Well, that's, different.
They all cautiously approach and gaze into the dark hole beneath the hovering tree mound. Shining their weapon-mounted flashlights down, they see what looks like living tar, churning far below.
Oh, what is that?
Oh, man. It smells like sulfur.
Looks like it's moving.
The sound of groaning and crackling roots overhead catches their attention.
Oh, there's a man under there.
Slowly, the entangled roots begin to loosen their grip on the prisoner. Everyone takes a step back as the stranger's muscular arms, legs, and body become free. He tightly grips the roots in front of him, then swings out from under the tree to slam face first into the solid ground below. Everyone assumes a defensive posture as Jakes cautiously approaches the unusually large man lying on the cavern floor.
Are you okay?
Mi ba elaim devarim sarim.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Do you speak English?
Ani yachol leraver
Golsofa. What an inferior language you have. It must have been granted from a lesser member of the council.
The council?
The stranger's massive arms flex, rippling muscles as he pushes himself up, then rises to stand before the soldiers. Stunningly handsome, he is easily 8 feet tall with long blonde hair. He stretches his back and neck, then fixes his sky blue eyes squarely on Zack.
Nevertheless, I thank you. It has been so very long.
Who are you?
Oh, I have gone by many names. I'm curious, though. Are those weapons you were pointing at me?
Yeah.
How wonderful. Intriguing designs. I see my children have made efficient use of the Earth's metals. Well done. Now, did I hear you call my prism the Tree of Life?
Yeah, I,
Oh, humans are so easily deceived. I never understood what he sees in you.
Who?
You don't even know him. Perfect. Allow me to introduce you.
Suddenly, the stranger morphs into his true form. A hideous beast that instantly rips Martinez in half.
Prince!
Total chaos ensues as Calhoun unleashes hell with his formidable weapon.
Oh, you want some of this? Eat this, beast!
But it has little effect on the creature. The terrifying beast has the lower body of a winged dragon, the upper torso of a man, and the head of a goat with four horns. It rises up on its hindquarters, its razor-sharp claws ready to strike the next victim.
Got the flank left, I got the right.
As Zack opens fire, the beast turns and with lightning speed, it knocks his assault rifle out of his hands.
Whoa. Watch out!
As it swings its clawed paws and spiked tail in every direction, Zack manages to dodge one fatal blow after another, but losing his footing, he falls into a shallow ditch.
Phoenix is down!
I got him! Cover me!
Dino, watch your back!
You all right?
Yeah, thanks.
Red, look out!
Drawing his 9mm pistol, Zack pops a few rounds into the back of the creature's head. The angry beast swings around, slashing off Zack's extended right forearm at the elbow. As the creature turns back toward the others, its massive spiked tail impales Pierce.
Dino!
Go! Get out of here! I got this! Hey! Over here, freak! Yeah, that's it! Come to Papa, you mother!
It grabs Calhoun by the head and tosses the 250-pound man like a rag doll into a distant wall. Meanwhile, hearing the muted sound of distant gunfire coming from the tunnel, Lieutenant Knight's men quickly move to help their friends. As the last of Zack's men gets hacked up by the creature, it once again turns toward him. Nearly in shock, he scrambles back to the stone stairway. As he does, Lieutenant Knight's men rush down and attempt to help him.
No! Get back! Get out of here!
The soldiers open fire, but like their brothers before them, they are no match for the creature.
Rocky!
Get out of my way, help me!
Son of a...
As the carnage continues, Zack stumbles and crawls his way up the stone stairway. Finally, making it to the top, he collapses at the feet of the Bedouin. The old man scowls as he sees the scepter inserted into the stone wall. He then grabs Zack by the collar and throws him away from the stairwell entrance as the screams of the last victim suddenly come to an end. The internal light below dims to darkness, and a monstrous, goat-like head with glowing red eyes slowly begins to emerge. The creature hesitates when it sees the old man. It then mutters a deep, unrecognizable word that only the Bedouin understands.
Lo Hayom Azazel.
The Bedouin abruptly thrusts his hand forward, and in a flash of supernatural energy, the creature is violently thrown back. With a distant thud, the cavern trembles and the stone stairway collapses. The Bedouin removes the scepter from its socket, and the massive stone wall quickly slides back into place. Satisfied that the beast is contained, the Bedouin tucks the scepter into his cloth belt and looks down at a very terrified soldier.
Who are you?
All will be revealed to you in time, Zechariah.
Speaking in an unknown tongue, the Bedouin begins to wave his hand slowly over Zach's wounded body. As he does, Zach's severed arm begins to grow back. Seeing this, he hyperventilates until he passes out. A slight smile comes across the old man's weathered face as he effortlessly picks Zach up and throws him over his shoulder. The Bedouin soon emerges from the tunnel. Once out, he turns around and waves his free hand in a circular fashion. The stones that once covered the tunnel's entrance return to their previous positions, sealing the hillside up as if nothing had happened. He looks up at the constellation of Orion, squinting as if privy to a dark secret. Then closing his eyes, he mutters a quick, silent prayer. Opening his eyes once again, he grabs the scepter from his belt, kneels down on one knee, and slams its jeweled head into the ground. In a flash, both he and Zach disappear as a ripple of light and dust explodes outward in every direction. Elsewhere nearby, the hot energy wave washes over Lieutenant Knight, burning the right side of his face, waking him up. He shields it with his right hand, which also burns. Once the wave passes, he stands. Looking around, he discovers that nothing remains of his team except the two vehicles. In the distance beyond, confused Bedouins and frightened herds of animals slowly begin to head in his direction. The date is January 25th, 2003. It is a cold Saturday afternoon in Dallas, Texas. Seven Honor Guard soldiers, wearing U.S. Army dress blues, ceremoniously raise their rifles as friends and family mourn the loss of Captain Zechariah Randall. The now triangular folded American flag, which once draped over Zach's silver casket, is presented to Colonel Grant Randall. The father of the fallen hero desperately tries to maintain his disciplined composure as he receives it.
Sir, on behalf of the President of the United States, the United States Army, and a grateful nation, please accept this flag as a symbol of our appreciation for your loved one's honorable and faithful service.
At the front of a sizable audience of mourning friends and family, Jessica Kane weeps. She was the perfect complement to Zach. Her usual bright blue eyes are now bloodshot as she stares down through a flood of tears at the engagement ring on her left hand.
We were supposed to get married next week. It's up here.
As the ceremony concludes, friends and family begin to disperse. But Lieutenant Knight is stopped by the imposing figure of Major General Victor Caritas.
Lieutenant Knight.
Sir.
What the hell happened over there?
As I indicated in my report, sir, I have no idea. All I know is that's not Zach Randall in that box, General.
Yes, it is, soldier. And if you know what's good for you, you will never say otherwise.
Yes, sir.
Back at the gravesite, the only one who remains is Jessica Kane. She holds a single rose up to her nose, hoping the sweet aroma will deaden the pain she feels. It does not. She closes her teary eyes and drops the rose into the hole that is her fiancé's final resting place.
My name is Zach Randall. Everyone thinks I'm dead, but I'm not.
To be continued in Seed, Episode 3, The Signs.
You've been listening to Kingsgate Media's audio drama adaptation of Seed, the series. This episode featured the voices of Shane Land, Lance Russell, Arturo Portillo, Rick Hummer, Preston Hare, Charles Duran, Rob Skiba, Marty Azell, Dwayne Fish, April Hartman, and Robert Skiba Sr., with narration by Rick Hummer. Original music for this broadcast was provided by Scott Rockenfield, John Mason, Steve Voss, Jocelyn D'Souza, Kenneth Carter, and Rob Skiba, with additional music licensed from Digital Juice, Video Copilot, and GMP Music. Original sound effects by Rob Skiba and Paul Villeneuve, with additional sound effects licensed from Digital Juice, Video Copilot, and SoundDogs.com. Sound engineering and final edit by Rob Skiba at the Kingsgate Media Studio in Addison, Texas. For more information on this and future episodes, please visit SeedTheSeries.com.